Well, I know many of us love superheroes. In fact, did you know that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the highest grossing film franchise of all time worldwide, grossing an impressive $22.5 billion in global box office? DC Comics comes in a distant 17, but still impressive with 5.3 billion grosses just around the world. And for those of you that don't know, Marvel Comics are those superheroes like the X-Men, Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Hulk, Captain America, and such. While DC Comics characters are maybe a bit more famous, they've been around a little longer, Superman, Batman, and Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Green Lantern. Now, if that doesn't show my more nerdy side, I will tell you that as a kid, I liked to pretend that I was a superhero. And my favorite was the Green Lantern. He had a special ring that gave him superpowers, and he could travel at the speed of light and become invisible and travel through time. And of course, Father Michael wanted me to mention an honorable mention for the Transformers, even though they're not technically superheroes, but since it is the Transfiguration after all. But why do we love these characters? I think we're drawn to them partially because they represent the characteristics that we find attractive and maybe wish that we had. I mean, who wouldn't want superhuman strength and wealth and that virtue of goodness, always being able to defeat evil? And where do those superheroes get their powers? Well, Superman, in case you didn't know, is a native of Krypton, and they have a red sun. So under the yellow sun on Earth, his body acts like a solar battery, absorbing all the sun's energy and giving him superhuman powers. Black Panther drinks an herb mutated from vibranium, and vibranium is the hardest metal on Earth. It's what his suit is made out of, and it's bulletproof and gives him extra strength. And in case you didn't know that, Captain America's shield is made from vibranium. And Iron Man, of course, we know, has that metallic suit that has all those special gadgets and features that were built by his alter ego billionaire, Tony Stark. As we grow up and we lose those childlike infatuations with comic book heroes, well, maybe some of us anyways, our society, though, gives us something else. And many of us have an unhealthy infatuation with self-proclaimed superheroes, movie stars, athletes, musicians, business leaders, and politicians, to name some, real people that we see on TV and many of us follow on social media. But I have a test, and no one has yet been able to pass it, so I'm going to give it to you. You can raise your hand if you know the answers, but I don't think that you will. But who can name the three richest people in the world? In order. Anybody? No hands? I didn't think so. Okay, this one I know you'll at least get one of them right, but who are the last five World Series and Super Bowl MVPs? I know Tom Brady, so that's it easy. I give you that one, right? So, how about the last three Academy Award winning actors and actresses for Best Actor? Nope, I can't name those either. So, but the next questions I know you'll be able to answer easily. Who of you can think of a teacher that helped you through your journey in school? Or maybe taught you something worthwhile? Or a friend that worked you through a tough time? Or two people that made you feel appreciated? How about a person that you enjoy spending time with? I bet you could all think of names for all those categories. And of course, the lesson is that lasting influence comes with intimacy. The truth is that we're most influenced and drawn to people who love us and care about us. And those people aren't looking for fame or recognition or money or power. People are attracted to Jesus because he possesses the greatest superpower of all, the truth. And at the Transfiguration, he gave his three closest followers, Peter, James, and John, a supernatural experience of his coming glory. It was an experience where heaven and earth meet, where time and eternity intersect. Time itself faded away, and Jesus spoke with God's closest collaborators from the Old Testament, Moses, who represented the law, and Elijah, the prophecies, those things that prefigured him. And the scene culminates in the descent of a cloud, which is the Holy Spirit, the voice of God the Father, and we find the whole Blessed Trinity present in the mountain. But why does Jesus think this is a necessary experience for Peter, James, and John? Well, in the previous chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus and his disciples had just come from Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked them a crucial question, a question that we all must ask ourselves. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in one of his moments of brilliance, makes his profession of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As professed Catholics, we know and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When we acknowledge his identity, we also acknowledge our true heritage as children of the Father. Everyone who believes these words strives to live holy and heroic lives. When St. Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus declared to him that this is a revelation of faith. It didn't come from flesh and blood, from human beings, but from his Father in heaven. And even the Catechism reminds us that faith indeed is a gift from God, a supernatural virtue infused by him. And then Jesus begins to teach them that he will be rejected, he will suffer, and he will be killed, but that he will rise after 3 days. He reminds us that to fully understand the supernatural event of the Transfiguration, we must never forget the cross, which is the means of our salvation. But that's difficult for us as human beings. And so as quickly as Peter's brilliance shines, the light goes out, and he puts his foot in his mouth, as he often does. He doesn't want to accept the reality of Jesus' suffering, and Jesus rebukes him harshly. He then summons the crowds and tells them another truth about our lives on earth. You see, Jesus never promises that our lives will be full of happiness and bliss. No, the only promise he makes that our life on earth, we will suffer if we have the strength to follow him. He doesn't pull any punches. He says to us, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross every day and follow me. The truth of our faith means that the ultimate superpower doesn't come from money or power or status or fame, but from dying to ourselves, from crucifying our dreams. Eternal life is the reward for carrying our cross for love of Jesus and for the sake of others. And so just a few short days later, we come to the Transfiguration on the mountain. Jesus takes his friends and goes up that high mountain, shows them a glimpse of his glory, because he knows that he must give them strength and hope, because these are the same three that he would ask to walk with him on the eve of his passion to the Garden of Gethsemane. Through the miracle of Transfiguration, Jesus is doing so much more than simply just encouraging his disciples. He's showing them who he is, and just as importantly, who they will become in him. He was revealing to them what had already begun and gives them a vision that would forever change the way they viewed themselves, their daily lives, and their mission after he returns to the Father. He had to strengthen their faith because, unknown to them at the time, the glory of Jesus' transfiguration was preparing them for the scandal of the cross. They would only understand this later when they remembered his words. And isn't that true for us? The good times that we have and the memories we have get us through the tough times. Then, just to make sure that there's no doubt, the Father speaks to them from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Hearing with the ears is just an act of perceiving sound. If you're not hard of hearing, hearing just happens. Listening, on the other hand, is something that we must consciously choose to do. It requires concentration so that our brain processes the meaning of the words and the sentences. Listening leads to learning and then understanding. We know most people are hard of listening, not hard of hearing. Throughout all of human history, mankind has sought answers to questions that simmer deep within our hearts. What does God want for us? Why am I here? How can I find happiness that I long for so desperately? Why do I have to endure suffering and evil? But if we were listening, God has already responded with the answer. It's not a formula or a philosophy or a self-help book. The answer is a person, his beloved Son. God becomes man, the everlasting Lord of history and life. And throughout history, there have been many great religious leaders. They all directed their people to follow my teaching. But Jesus was different. He had instructed his disciples to listen to his teachings and then pointed to himself and said, "Follow me." We are Christians not just because we accept a creed, a set of beliefs, not just because we're nice people, but because we accepted a person and made our relationship with that person the most important thing in our lives. Jesus is the answer. Through his life, his teachings, passion, death, and resurrection, God answers all the questions more thoroughly than we could ever have imagined. And because he died for us and sent his Holy Spirit through the sacraments, we are given supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And through our adoption in the waters of baptism, we're given the gift of eternal life. Now, how's that for superpower? In his years of exile, after his grand conquests had faded away and he was just a memory, the Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte reflected a lot about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Even though for most of his life many considered him an agnostic or an atheist, in the end, some historians would say that he actually died receiving the sacraments. We don't know. But in his memoirs, he reflected on the superpower of God. The theology is not perfect, but his insights are very profound. And I quote, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not just a man. Superficial minds may see a resemblance between Christ and the followers of empires and the gods of other religions. That resemblance does not exist. Between Christ and whomsoever else in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. With what authority does he teach men to pray? You speak of Caesar or Alexander, of their conquests, and the enthusiasm that kindled in the hearts of their soldiers. But can you conceive of a dead man making conquests with an army that is faithful and entirely devoted to his memory? My armies have forgotten me while I'm living, as all armies forget their leaders. Such is our power. A single battle crushes us, and adversity scatters our friends. How different is the power of the God of the Christians and the perpetual miracle of the progress of the faith and of his church. Nations pass away, thrones crumble, but Christ's church remains."